I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Clicking Balls season primer for 2017 Collingwood Magpies. My name is Heath and with me is Brenton.
G'day.
Josh isn't here, he's on daddy duties, but we're going to have a look at Collingwood and we'll start with 2016 for them first. 9 wins and 12th, probably under where they'd hoped.
Under where they hoped, but I mean, it's easy to see where how it happened, you know what I mean? An injury list that was quite big.
Well, lost Dane Swan in the first minute
exactly.
of the season. That hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, it would have been a big, definitely could have been much worse if they didn't have some players step up big time. Big time. So, yeah, look, an underachievement, but based on the men you put on the park, you'd have to be pretty happy with how recruits performed and how players that you really didn't expect to be at that level yet sort of came on.
Well, they found a few players, and they'd have to be extremely impressed with Treloar. Who at some stage looked like, you know, Brownlow medal contention.
Well, definitely. And I mean, with a few more wins on the board, he definitely would have been up there for it. And probably one of the best people to leave GWS. Was it in that year? Well, there's been so many that come out of there, you forget.
Yeah, I'm going to say, there's a lot. I mean, Tom Boyd had a pretty good grand final.
Well, that's true.
He definitely had a better season than Tom Boyd.
Yeah. Well, Treloar is definitely better value than Tom Boyd. Yeah. Put it that way.
I don't know. What do you pay for a premiership?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it was, again, the fifth year of Buckley's coaching and the fifth year that they went down on the ladder. I've actually been impressed with the way Buckley's handled it.
Media-wise,
which is as much as anything in Melbourne.
Yep.
Especially when you're a coach of the biggest club in the country.
And to his credit, he always fronts the media. He always rocks up to his responsibilities, always gives an answer that's not just a textbook, bullshit answer.
But I did like, at the end of the year, he said, I need to make finals to keep my job.
Yeah.
That may not be true.
Yeah.
But it's certainly it's a good soundbite.
Yeah, because you just don't want to hear those political responses where everything's fine and
rebuilding.
Keep it in-house. Like, you relate to your well, especially the Magpie faithful who are diehard, you relate to them by being honest. You know what I mean? And so, if you don't give those bullshit answers, they're not ever going to get behind you. And shit, that's some pressure to take into the MCG on any game day.
Yeah.
When you've got 90,000 Magpie fans who don't want you to be at the helm of their club.
Well, and let's face it, you know, the favourite son mantle, it can go.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, you know, Voss at Brisbane.
Yep.
And then James Hurd at Essendon.
Yep.
There's only so much goodwill. Like the Messiah can be nailed to a cross.
That's exactly right. Yeah, every team's a little Pontius Pilate running around the background somewhere.
They're always there. They're ready and waiting. Ready
to jack you with a sword to the side and a crown of thorns.
So let's have a look at their off-season then. And they were very busy in the off-season.
Yeah.
So let's look at their outs. First off, McCaffer is retired. Unlucky that was it a knee or a shoulder that robbed him? A little bit towards the end of his career.
Yeah, probably both.
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. I actually really liked him as a player. I thought he was a great tagger.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of those players that, I mean,
did his job weekend.
Did his job, exactly, yeah. You noticed him because he was doing his job, not because you came into that weekend going, oh, shit, we're playing McAllister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you'd be on the field doing this annoying shit that really fucked with your game plan if you're playing against the Pies.
Should be very proud of his career. Dane Swan, like we said, gave everything, never looked like a footballer, but one of the best value in the media, loved by everyone, which for a Collingwood player to be... That's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of, like, who was the last Collingwood player that I would have said, I fucking really like that guy.
Yeah.
It's got back a fair way to the point where it probably isn't one.
Well, honest. See, I like Nick Maxwell
in the
media. I thought he was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But
didn't like him in a Collingwood Guernsey.
No, though. But Swanee, it's hard to dislike Swanee.
Yeah, and I mean, as someone who owns themselves, you know what I mean? He is who he is, makes no excuses, and you know, if you don't like it, you can go fuck yourself, pretty much. And they're the people that I respect the hell out of.
Didn't bother him one little bit.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting man to sit down with and actually find out what makes him tick, but I don't think anybody could.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe he'd be on open mic in a few years, who knows?
Yeah, possibly.
Or he'll come on here.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
We'll chat a few pingers, maybe we'll get you loose.
Alan Tovey as well. Again, another great servant of the club. Never rose to, you know, all Australian level or anything like that, but certainly played his role.
Yeah, and he played that role in a team that needed those sort of role players as well. They had stars there that could, you know, week in, week out, do what they need to do, so they needed these players to stock up the list.
Pretty sure he played in the Premiership side as well.
Yeah, let's keep him on.
I'd be happy with that. Brown, who I thought I liked, again, another great servant. I'm a little bit surprised that they moved Brown on.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had to move someone on, and their back line's pretty old, let's be honest.
Yeah, it is, but they've moved a lot on.
Yeah, but I mean, they moved on to Melbourne, which means that Melbourne had to say, yeah, all right, we'll take him.
Yeah.
So you look at who else they probably could have put on the table. Who are they going to put on there?
Okay, we're going to look at Inns in a minute, but let's talk about Brown, because, you know, moved him on because he might be a little bit old, a surplus to knees, but then they've got in Lyndon Dunn, who's not that much younger.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
If he is.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, also on the outer was Jared Witts, who has gone to Queensland. I'm not sure if he's gone to Brisbane. I think he's gone to Brisbane.
Right.
Which is just ruck depth. They've done very well with an undersized ruckman in Grundy. They're going to be okay there. Witt's never challenged for that number one ruck spot.
No. Well, I think Grundy was a bit more handy around the ground as well.
Yeah. And they've got, you know, Mason Cox, who's done better than most of the international imports that come in.
Definitely. Yeah.
And they're hoping for more improvement from him. So maybe Witz is surplus to needs.
I mean, they should. And he's also a good value on social media, too.
He's great. He's a funny lad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. He's taken over from Swanee.
He's already endeared himself to the Australian public. So, yeah.
He's done well. Was that what tweet when he was at an Auskick clinic and he's saying, these kids have been playing longer than me?
Yeah, yep.
And I'm trying to teach them. Anyway, I like that. Marley Williams, who again, I've spoken to a few Collingwood supporters about it because I love the way he attacks the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am a little bit fond of players that just have that absolute hunger and determination and, you know, I'm going to get the ball.
Yeah.
Now, the Collingwood supporters told me, yeah, but he butchers it when he gets it.
Right.
Yep. Which maybe I ignored because I was so impressed with how he got the ball that I ignored what he did once he had it.
Yeah, especially if, like, if it's your team they're playing against, you're like, oh, I love that guy.
Thank you. Sweet. Could have been that too, I don't know.
But he's running onto a team, you're like, oh, this motherfucker again. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense.
I think it'll be a good pickup, though, for North. If you can sort out his skills and his decision-making then, he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, and probably going to be a bit less under a bit less pressure at North as well.
Yeah, perhaps. Certainly playing in front of smaller crowds. Jack Frost, who they shipped off up to Brisbane. Again, vegan Brock Lesnar. Played against the Gorillas and probably got beaten more often than not.
Yep. But
I always thought, geez, he got value out of him.
I always thought he was serviceable. And there were some games where when he got free, he was able to do some really, not intelligent, but he showed he had some skills, you know what I mean? He had something there.
I mean, it's never going to challenge for All-Australian.
No,
but I thought, you know what, for what I'm guessing you're paying him, he's probably good value.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means super coach value, but anyway.
Yeah, well. He would pop up and you know, show some sort of worth, you know what I mean? Where you're like, really, this dude's going to take over the game now? Are you fucking kidding me? Not take over the game, but you know, take over the quarter, maybe.
But I think they had O'Keefe comes back in after his drug suspension and Josh Thomas. So, I mean, anyway, he's done his job and they've got rid of him.
That's right. It was a Keith that someone spiked his cocaine with something else.
Clenbuterol.
Clenbuterol, yeah.
Something like that. And they said, it could have been the steaks we had.
Yeah.
And I think at some point then somebody in the back went, mate, just fucking.
Exactly, yeah.
No, we're on the coke, we got gun.
Yep. Try to go the Frank Mir thing. Take the kangaroo meat.
Yeah, exactly. And the big one, of course, Travis Cloak. I don't know if there are many people at Collingwood that are disappointed.
No.
Because it did two things for them. One, it got rid of a underperforming player.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's missing God knows how many from the goal square, even in the VFL, he's not what you Mason Cox is kicking more goals.
Yeah. I mean, the real winners are the people who sit behind the goals because everyone's all safer now.
Yeah, exactly.
Things went anywhere.
So not only did they move on a player that wasn't performing, they moved on 800K out of their salary cap because they got to... He did a 2-year deal with the Bulldogs, so he essentially got 1 year's pay split over 2 years.
Yeah, right.
Which means he gets to extend his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, for an extra year and all the benefits that go with that.
Yeah.
But that's a great result, I think, for Collingwood. They're certainly the winners out of that one.
Yeah, look, I mean, a huge pickup for Bulldogs VFL team too.
Yeah, you're going to say Footscray. Yeah. Footscray going to, well, maybe. I mean, they're already premiers, so.
Yeah, that's it.
I think Collingwood definitely won out of that. I don't know if it's a trade or a deal.
I don't know, but either way. How have they got it done? Good on them. So, had to happen.
Anyway, they've got a couple of retirees there and moved on some older players. So you sort of sense the signal they're going for youth?
Yeah, well, they have to.
Well, they've got in Daniel Wells, Chris Mayne, and Lyndon Dunn.
Jesus, and Wells is already out for the first couple of games, is it?
Well, Wells, I think, is a good choice and it's a poor choice because you know that he's injury issues. Yep. They signed him as a unrestricted free agent or a restricted free agent, either one. Yeah. So it means that they've had to pay enough to move him over from North Melbourne.
Yeah.
14 years or something at the club at North Melbourne.
How long is it North Melbourne for? Jesus.
Yeah, it was something like that. It might be not exactly that, but it's around that. But
playing some of his best footy too.
Yeah.
Plus, isn't it?
But Chris Mayne as well had a terrible year at Frio. So they would have got him for value.
Yep.
And Dunn, look, I don't know what the difference is between Dunn and Brown, really. Unless it's a couple of years.
Yeah.
Or Dunn and Jack Frost. Dunn's probably a better kick.
Yeah, yep.
But it didn't match up to me that they've got rid of some age and then got in so much age.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, maybe they just couldn't really stomach giving away something for nothing. So they were like, we're going to take something off them. I don't know.
They'd say, we've got to do something.
Yeah.
We've got rid of so many players, we just need some in.
Yeah.
Will Hoskin-Elliott, they have got him from GWS, who's going to be a great player.
Yep.
If he turns out like Treloar did, and I don't think he's as good as Adam Treloar.
Yeah.
But if he does, then they're absolutely wrapped.
Yeah, and I mean, Treloar was definitely, everyone knew he's good, but he proved just how good he can be. In a new team, no real sort of affinity with anyone, and he comes in and just tears it up. So, I mean, if he can be half as good as Treloar, then he's still going to win.
He's still going to win him over. So let's have a look at their draw then for 2017. So their double-up games, Essendon, Geelong, Hawthorn, Melbourne and Port. Essendon's an interesting one because we just don't know.
Exactly,
Actually, Essendon and Hawthorn, we've had such drastic changes from 2016 to 2017.
Yeah.
So they're going to be interesting games for them.
Yeah.
They match up really well against Geelong for some reason.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think they've got... Well, Chalor always helps when you chuck him on Dangerfield and make him be accountable. Yeah, so, I mean, that always helps. But, I mean, Collingwood just seem to pull it together in big games as well. I mean, they've got that, resilience, but just that mongrel about them where they can pull it together.
Well, I mean, the good thing about Collingwood is when it comes to big games, they're used to them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're used to playing in front of the big crowds. They have, having Anzac Day every year is such a great advantage for them because it's a finals-like atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's 90,000 people every single year.
Exactly.
And Collingwood know they're going to be there.
And that's why I was surprised with that Vice documentary coming around about big rivalries. They chose Carlton because it's not a big rivalry at the moment.
Well, it's the longest rivalry, but...
It is, but you could have gone to Anzac Day game where both teams sort of turn it on. And you would have got much better footage, a much better sort of introduction to that, what AFL is like, and just the atmosphere and that tension you can cut with a knife. But the thing that's really annoying to me...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Is that this is going to go across pretty much all of America on the Vice Network.
Yep.
And so we're going to have all these Americans who had been exposed to AFL footy first, and they're going to choose either Carlton or Collingwood to go for.
They're the two sides, yeah.
And they're going to think that they're going to come into Australia, go in front of those teams and fit in. Like, holy shit, guys, you're in for a world of hurt when you get here.
Hopefully they'll figure it out. They'll do some comparisons to American teams, I'm sure, in the documentary, and say, you know, these are the Celtics, or these are the Yankees, or whatever it is. And then you're going to get the rest of people go, right, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, they'll be going for Bulldogs.
Melbourne and Port are two teams that both finished around Collingwood last year as well.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting, those games, to see who's improved from year to year.
Yep. And look, the problems with sort of Melbourne were going missing during games. It wasn't about the talent they've got. Whereas Port, Collingwood was kind of the other ones. It was players not actually playing because they're injured. But still, they managed to step up against, in big games.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's two different sides to that coin. So it's going to be whichever team can be sort of round out their consistency. And I think with Collingwood full strength...
But they've got a good list. They do have a good list. Champion Data ranks the fuck out of them.
Really?
Yeah. I think the Champion Data said that the Collingwood midfield was the best in the league, which just... it's Champion Data, so it doesn't have any bias attached to it. But they're not the best in the league.
Well, I mean, they sell their stats, so maybe
the
Collingwood
biggest buyers.
A bit extra. We can pad a few out. It could be. Yeah. It'd be just like when NBA Jam came out and they made Detroit really good against the Bulls.
Yeah, because the lead designer was a Detroit Pistons fan.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, I'd be surprised. You know, there's a human element to Champion Data as well.
There was, I think, in the program for NBA Jam, the Bulls would never hit a buzzer beater against Detroit.
Yeah.
It is impossible for it to happen.
Yeah.
In the old arcade machine. Who knows nowadays? Yep. The big game for them I got marked down, besides Anzac Day, which is just a given, and, you know, playing against Essendon the other time and Carlton, whenever that happens. So only once they play Carlton this year, but that's a shame.
Yep.
Round one is the Bulldogs. So you got the reigning Premier, and maybe Travis Cloak lines up.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he's best 22 at the Bulldogs.
I don't think he's playing. Especially not against Collingwood. Let's be honest.
This is a win-win situation for Collingwood, because if he plays, they get to say, mate, he's a premiership player for him.
Yeah.
But, mate, you were shit. Thank you for leaving us. We don't have to pay you 800 grand, those suckers.
Comes on, kicks 10.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't play, just as good, I think, because they say, see, you're not even fucking playing, you're scared.
Yeah.
They're going to love it.
And I mean, the last thing you want to do is just destroy his confidence in round one as well. But that could turn the other way as well. If he comes out and kicks 10 goals, even 5, for the most.
4 goals, 10. Imagine if he comes out and his first set shot is from the edge of the goal square.
Yeah.
And at the Collingwood cheer squad end.
Please let that happen.
And he hits the post.
Yeah.
Collingwood fans might faint.
You'd love to see Joffa there giving it to him too.
Love
to see it.
They're just going to stand up and applaud. Yep. I think that's going to do. And they go, that's why everyone thinks it's funny.
Let's be honest. They've got the banner already written.
Yeah.
We've got a few of them.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So who's going to have a big year for the Collingwood then?
Well, I've written down a couple.
You know what you're going to get out of Pendlebury.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's almost not worth mentioning. You know what he's going to do.
Exactly. Chilwell and Pendlebury, you know what's going to happen. So they've got to fill out some other positions. I think Jack Crisp is due to really step it up. It's his third season. The Pies up to coming across from Brisbane. Strong, sort of tall outside mid player.
Yeah, he's got some talent.
Yeah, so I think that fills the role that they need. You've got Chilwell, who's in and under. You've got Pendlebury there. You can do both roles, inside and outside. But I think you'll find Pendlebury not have to play such a demanding on the ball underneath role now. Yep. So I think him teamed up with Jack Crisp on the outside, both tall, that's tough to match up. Tough to find a couple of midfielders that you can match up against them. So I think, it'll be important for him as well, not only just playing the midfield, but with a weak back line, which I think they have. I think the back line's too old. I think it's weak.
Yep.
I think that their forward pressure in the forward line is going to be key to them kicking winning scores. Yep. Because as soon as it gets out from there, they're weak and they're going to be exposed. So with a tall guy like him who can run fast, be accountable for the other team's players, he's going to be instrumental in working his ass off, not when they got the ball, when they don't.
I'd put in Hoskin Elliott as well, because they've got him at the right time. He's had a few years. He's now getting into his peak.
Yeah.
And like I said, absolutely wrapped with how Treloar came across last year. If Wilbur can get some of that going as well, you're on a winner. You know, he's one of Dermy's favourite players.
Is he really?
Because Dermy did a fair bit of coaching up at GWS
with
young lads, and he loves him.
You've got to love that, young kids have Dermy around.
Can take a nice mark too, Wilbur, when he goes forward.
Yeah, I'm sure Dermy can tell a nice story too.
I'm sure he can.
We've got a lot of booze and a lot of stories flinging around that GWS camp.
And I'm going to throw out one, like Mason Cox's development last year. He surprised everybody, you know, on the big stage, you know, kicking goals on Anzac Day.
Yeah.
It's a great way to announce yourself. Yeah. I think the ruck rules might actually help him.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to worry about third man up now.
Yep.
Makes it a little bit more simpler for him.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's going to help.
Yeah, I mean, it plays into what his strengths are, which is obviously coming from a background of some other sport.
Yeah, don't know what other sport, I can't remember.
It's got a ball, I don't know. So, yeah. Means he can be focused ahead of him, not worried about who's coming from left, right, and makes it very simple to learn the game that way and set up a game plan that, or a set of structure that's going to be conducive to that. So, yeah, definitely one to keep your eye on. Actually, singled out another one as well, which, I mean, it could go either way. It's not someone who I expect to be on the rise, someone I want to get on the rise. And that's Tom Langdon. He had a very injury-prone 2016, but he played a good... he had a good 2015.
He's got a good kick.
And they need a defender. They need defenders. So I think they really need him to step up. Also, he's got the ability to stop in the midfield as well. So a little bit... I can't remember how tall he is, but from memory, I think he's a little bit short than what they need for a key defender.
Slight. He's a little bit slight, I think.
Yeah, but he's got a role to play. So I'd like to see him come in and really have some confidence.
Yeah.
Hope he's playing. I didn't check if he played preseason. So,
no, I didn't see it either. But look, if he doesn't, then you know when it comes to trade period this year, he might be one that's in a little bit of trouble there.
Look at the net loss.
Yeah, which leads us to the chopping block, and he's one you know that I had in there.
Yep.
But otherwise, I don't think there's that many players on the list that are really in trouble. Maybe just Chris Mayne.
Yeah, it's Chris Mayne. Yep.
And it's on age.
Yeah. And look, the backline's weak, but they don't even have to fill it in. So even the ones that I had singled out, I mean, I put Jesse White in there just because he's Jesse White anyway.
Forgot he was even there.
Put him on every year. Yeah. So,
again, every team's got one of those whipping boys.
For the same reason, like, I may as well just cut and paste from our last year's podcast. Yeah. Athletic, got the build, just not a football player.
No.
The other one I had, well, I mean, like I said, there's not really any that they can afford to lose, especially at the backline.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it'll depend on what this recruiting... sort of year or draft year is going to look like.
Yep.
If they can get some backmen in there, I think you'll find there's going to be one player leaving their back line. They're going to be a toss-up between probably Tyson Goldsack, Lyndon Dunn, who they just got across from Melbourne, who's like 30 or something as well. Played 4 games last year, so I don't really understand that trade either.
I'm just going to check on Goldsack, because I've got a feeling he's getting up there in age too.
Yeah, so he's 30, I think.
He might be closer to retiring as opposed to moving on.
Yeah, well, see, his 11th season, and I mean, the unfortunate thing with Collingwood is that he is a needed player. Like, they do need someone like that. But the best thing with Collingwood is if they don't need him next year, because it means they've got someone who can fill that role. He can go, I don't know, probably play just a bit of a lesser role or something like that, but they need a key defender. I think he's gotten on a bit too long, and I think he can fill that role.
He turns 30 in a month or so.
Yeah.
I mean, for Collingwood to rise this year, they're going to need guys like we said, Treloar and Hoskin Elliott and DeGoey to keep rising up. How much, with Travis Cloak gone, it really opens it up, though, for Darcy Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is threatened to look like the star that his father was.
Yeah.
I think that third year in now, he might have had...
already.
It could be about that.
Damn.
I think it is. He could have had the... he's no longer the big fish in the small pond.
Yep.
So I think he's have that... you need that little bit of arrogance, but
exactly,
not as a rookie.
And exactly, yeah.
Hopefully that's rubbed off now, and now he's right, I need to do something there.
Exactly.
It's not... he's not handy anymore.
Yeah.
He needs to be contributing. He needs a 40-plus goal season.
That's exactly right, yeah. He needs to hold in that position. And look, he showed why there's been some hype around him, you know what I mean? But with some consistency, then, I mean, you really open up that forward line. And obviously, Collingwood going to have to kick winning scores every single game just to stay in the competition. You know what I mean?
Because I still believe their back line. You know, they got Ben Reid down in the back line, who is a good contributor.
Yeah.
But he's not as athletic or as strong as some of the other key backmen around.
Yeah.
he's handy, and he's one that they're going to hang on to.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see Darcy Moore, you know, come Anzac Day, him in one goal square, and then Danaher in the other goal square.
Yeah.
I mean, Darcy Moore's a fair bit shorter and obviously a little bit younger.
He's got a good head on him, though.
Yeah, he's definitely got a smarter football brain than Danaher.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if he can kick four to Danaher's one or two,
yep.
you know, Collingwood are going to be in a good shape.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And, yeah, look, I just really want to see how they structure their defensive forward line. So when the ball's turned over, how they can do that. Because they've got the run and the talent to be able to do it. And that's got to be that's going to be the linchpin of their season, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So looking at Collingwood then, last year, 9 wins, 12th. Where have you got them finishing this year?
I've got them with not too much movement. I've got them staying in at 12th. And, yeah, like we said, I think 12th might be the maximum they can get. Maybe up to some 10th, but I think that's about where they really are.
Yep.
There's too many holes that they really need to do something about, and they just didn't have much in the trade table to really rectify that.
Yeah, that's why I am confused with what they did in the off-season. Yeah. Some of it makes sense, but Wells, you know, is injury-prone.
Yeah.
Main was out of form. Dunn is a workhorse.
Yeah.
It confused me. I've put him in the same position as Josh, and that's 14th, which is a little bit backwards from last year.
Yep.
But you have a look at the teams they finished around, you know, like Melbourne and St Kilda last year, both around the same, close in the number of wins.
Yeah.
I see a lot of improvement out of St Kilda and Melbourne.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't see the same level out of St Kilda, which is why I've put him as backwards.
Yeah, and that's it. When you look at, like, it's looking like a predictable season for Collingwood. You can generally see how they're going to go and where the hole's going to be, whereas Melbourne and St Kilda, they've had those holes and they're starting to rectify them. You don't see where they're going to go backwards. Whereas Collingwood, you can see what's going to be the letdown.
I'm just trying to check here. Where's Pendlebury? I mean, they've still got Pendlebury's only 29 this year.
Is he really only 29?
Yeah, so they've still got a good couple of years. I mean, and the type of player that he is, he's not somebody whose athleticism, if it goes, it's not going to hurt him that much.
Yeah.
He's better off moving sideways, and it's his vision that is his main asset.
Yep.
He's got another 5 years to go.
Definitely. Yeah.
So there is still a future for him there. They're not looking to try and move him on yet.
Yeah.
So these younger guys they've got, like Treloar and Will Hoskin, DeGoey, Crisp, and all the others.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, do they need to show more right now to save Buckley or not? And there's going to be a lot of questions on Buckley this year.
Yeah.
That's just the way the media goes.
I don't see how they save Buckley, to be honest. Yeah. I just don't think...
Don't either. And that's why I've got him down as 14.
Yeah, I don't think there's a... They don't have the cattle to really get into the top eight, which is what Buckley needs to survive. Yeah.
Like I said, I can see a bigger improvement at other sides. Look, I think that if Wells comes good, he's exactly what they need, and that's a classy ball user.
Yeah, yeah.
You never have too many of them.
Yeah, just but get him on the park.
Exactly. That's just a big if. He's already out for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, yep.
All right, that might do us for Collingwood.
Yep. All right. See you later.
See ya. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.